I had no problem finding Jenna Lynn's house that windy night in early December. The two-story charmer stood out from the other Costa Mesa ranch-style houses on Ventura Street. I even made it as far as the welcome mat by her front door before a rising sense of panic pressed in on me, causing me to stop and draw in a deep breath. "You don't have to do this, Emily. You can leave now. No one inside knows you're here." My gaze went to the meandering red ribbon that looped through the fresh evergreen wreath hanging on the door. The wreath had an artistic assortment of bright silver bells, clusters of holly berries, and strategically placed starfish, a charming blend of beachy, artistic, and classy, just like Jenna Lynn. Nervously, I pulled her handmade invitation from my shoulder bag, as if another glimpse at it would bolster my courage. "Come to a favorite things party, December 5th, 7 o'clock p.m., Jenna Lynn's new home. Bring a plate of Christmas cookies and 4 gifts of your favorite thing that costs under $5. No whiskers on kittens or bright copper kettles, please." It was all so cute. The idea, the invitation, and now the charming wreath on Jenna Lynn's front door. Why did I say I would come? I can't do this. I won't fit in with these women. My feet didn't move. In my pounding ears, I could hear the echo of my husband's calm voice right after we moved to California. He had to coax our daughter out of the car on her first day of fifth grade.
"You gotta be brave, sweetheart. You've gotta take the first step. Truth is, I don't know anyone in this wide world who wouldn't want to be friends with you. Go on, you can do this."
Audra had taken that first step, and she had made lots of friends at school over the past 3 months. Now it was my turn. If Trevor were standing beside me, I knew he would slip into his most adorable southern drawl and say,
"Go on, Emily, darling. Ring the bell. You'll be glad you did."
You better be right, Trevor Winslow. You better be right about a lot of things. I rang the doorbell and waited. When the door opened, cheerful Christmas music spilled out. Jenna Lynn's dark, silky hair hung over her shoulders, and she smiled at me in her welcoming way. "I'm so glad you came. Come in." She offered me a pregnant mama side hug. I held out my plate of cookies with an apology. "They're not homemade. I hope that's okay." "Of course it's okay." She took the plate and led the way past the garland-festooned staircase. The fragrance of fresh pine mixed with cinnamon and cloves hung in the air. I could hear the other women's voices coming from the large open area at the back of Jenna Lynn's beautiful home. They were laughing the way friends laugh when they know each other well. I hung back slightly, my heart pounding. The conversation paused when we entered. I counted the women seated on the plush sofas. There were only 3, but they were all looking at me. "This is Emily." Jenna Lynn placed her hand on my shoulder. "We met at the grocery store a few weeks ago and ended up having such a great conversation. I knew I wanted to include her for our favorite things party." A chorus of greetings followed as each woman said her name. I gave a nod and a hi, and placed my gifts on the end of the long marble kitchen counter, where the other gifts were. Jenna Lynn added my plate of cookies to the snacks.
"Would you like something to drink?"
One of the women had stood and was now coming toward me. Her long hair had a pretty nutmeg brown tint to it and was tucked behind her ears. Her oval face seemed to be framed like an open window, with the curtains pulled back to each side.
"I was going to make some hot tea," she said. "We have cold drinks, too."
As she came closer, I read in her distinct blue-green eyes a gentle sincerity. Or maybe it was compassion, as if she instinctively knew how nervous I was. "Tea sounds good," I said.
"Do you like peppermint tea?"
"Yes, sure, anything."
"I'm Christy. I know it's hard to remember names when you hear them all at once."
"Thanks." She motioned to the other women on the couch.
"So again, that's Tess, and Sierra is in the chair."
My eyes went to Sierra first, because of her beautiful, wild, curly blonde hair. She wore a stack of gold bangles and beaded leather bracelets that shimmered and clinked together when she lifted her slender arm to wave at me. She reminded me of a mermaid. "I love your sweater," Sierra said. "It looks hand-knit, is it?" "I don't know. I don't think so. There was no way I was going to admit to her that I'd found it at a local junk teak when I was hunting for lamps for our small apartment.